The word of God given to us today is Romans chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. It's on page 247 of the New Testament. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. Allow me to read the words of God. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Sin entered the world through one man, and due to the sin of one man, death came to all people. Because of the sin of one man, Adam, death gained authority over the world. Death could rule because of sin, so the power of death is also the power of sin. Because of Adam's disobedience against God, it became easier for people to give in to sin. But God told us that we need to win against the power of sin and should not be ruled by sin. In Genesis chapter 4, there's a story of two sons, Cain and Abel, who were born to Adam and Eve after they disobeyed God. Following their individual talent, Cain farmed while Abel took care of livestock. Cain and Abel each worked and offered their produce as offerings to God. God accepted Abel and his offering, but did not accept Cain and his offering. Consequently, Cain became really angry, and he was downcast because of this accident. God saw Cain as he was and asked him, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" And God continued to speak in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. If we look at what God said to Cain, his fault was not doing what is right. Not doing what is right could be referring to being passive about doing good or actively pursuing evil, but ultimately, it is about being right with God. Cain was not in a proper relationship with God. Because he wasn't in a good relationship with God, God did not accept Cain and his offering. Not doing what is right means that one has deviated from a proper relationship with God and lives a self-centered life, not pleasing the Lord. Cain did not bring joy to God. To explain what it means to not bring joy to God from the context of the broken relationship with God, as a created being, Cain did not accept God as the Creator God. In other words, a person who brings joy to God is one who accepts God as God and is in a proper relationship with God. Thus, that person has no reason to look down, stay angry, or have a downcast face. When a person is not in a proper relationship with God, not accepting God as God, sin always follows the person. God explained to Cain by personifying sin. Sin is crouching at your door. Just as a beast stays down to catch the prey, sin is crouching at the door, waiting for Cain. For people living in the current generation, which is no better than Cain's generation, sin is also waiting for them. The current generation also becomes people who are influenced by sin, crouching at the door, or people who follow sin and are ruled by the power of sin. God told Cain to avoid that from happening. Sin desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Through one person, sin entered the world. Just as sin wants Cain, sin wants people. Sin waits for people, crouching at the door. But people who have been created by God should not be ruled by sin, and rather rule over it. That is what God wants, and his intention has not changed even now. He wants us to not be ruled by sin and win against it. Did Cain listen to God's words and win over sin, crouching at the door? What about the people after Cain? How about us living in the present? Do we win over sin, crouching at the door? Cain did not pay attention to God's warning and failed to win against sin. No, he rather acted as if he was a person who refused to win against sin. Just as his father Adam disobeyed God, Cain also disobeyed God's words and couldn't rule over sin, and even killed his brother in the field. He became a slave to sin. If one does not win against the sin crouching at the door, he becomes a slave to sin. Many people, after the days of Adam and Cain, became slaves to sin. To transform people who have become slaves to sin into bodies of righteousness, God had blameless Jesus to die. Let's look at verse 10. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. He refers to Jesus. Since sin entered the world through one man, and due to the sin of one person, death came to all people, the fact that Jesus died to sin means that as a blameless person, Jesus died for sin. The phrase to pay attention to is once for all. Jesus died once for all. Jesus' death, as you well know, was death as a sacrifice to make peace between God and sinners. In the Old Testament times, people had to offer animals as a sacrificial offering to God to be forgiven for their sins. Usually, a person had to offer one animal per one sin. If Jesus had become a sacrificial offering like the animal offering, he had to die for one sin of one person, and in order to bring deliverance for another person as sacrificial offering, he had to come to life from death and die again as sacrificial offering. But Jesus did not become sacrificial offering like animal offering. As the only Son of God, Jesus became sacrificial offering, totally different from the blood of animals, and rather a complete form of sacrifice, one without faults and flaws. The phrase "once for all" means that Jesus died once, and also as a perfect sacrificial offering, there was no longer a need for sacrificial offering. Jesus died once to pay the wages of sin for all sinners. His death signifies that our individual sin, regardless of whatever it is, how many it is, has been forgiven and will be forgiven. Our past, present, and future sins have been forgiven by Jesus' death once for all. That doesn't mean it's okay to sin. To give direction on that note, Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" In verse 10, his life signifies that Jesus lives for God. Life and death are presented in a dichotomy, and living for God provides a contrast to living to sin. While life and death are opposite, sin cannot dare to coexist with God because God reigns over sin, unlike people. How could sin stand against God? Through one person, sin entered the world, and through one person's sin, death came to all. If sin is death, God is life and living. Jesus conquered death, the result of sin, and sinners who were to face death because of sin could now come before God, who grants life through Jesus' redemption. Thus, Jesus' life is to be alive to God. Just as verse 10 explains why Jesus died and lives, verse 11 explains that as we have become one body with Jesus, we have also died to sin and also alive to God. Verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The word "then" means, or the phrase "in the same way" means that just as Jesus died to sin, we also died to sin. Do you agree? Are we people who died to sin? In the same way, Jesus did something, Jesus had to go through something that we didn't have to go through. We didn't physically die losing our breath, but if our body of sin died, we cannot become the living for God. As sinners, we face the legal issue of death, which we deserve, but God resolved it entirely. When Jesus died to sin, Jesus became one body with everyone who will believe in Jesus. Through the grace of God, we could become one with Jesus if we believe in Jesus. For the people who will be born and live in the future, Jesus also granted the grace for their bodies of sin to die with Jesus. The reason why the wage of our sin, death, does not happen to us is not because our sentence has been suspended. It is because Jesus died for us. Through Jesus' death, we have legally paid the wages of sin. There is the next step. Our body of sin is gone, but we need to have bodies of righteousness. In the same way, we need to live like the resurrected Jesus. As I explained previously, for our deliverance, we didn't experience physical death. Similarly, we could become living people by becoming united with Jesus. Through Jesus' death, our body of sin died, and through Jesus' resurrection, we became people of righteousness. And now, we could go to God. If our body of sin died with Jesus, and we became one with the resurrected Lord, how should we live out our lives of eternity on this finite earth? Let's look at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Therefore indicates that this verse is related to the previous verses. Just as Jesus died and lived, each one of us experienced death of our body of sin with Jesus, and instead could now live with body of righteousness with Jesus. Thus, we should not let sin rule over us. The mortal body that Apostle Paul explained is referring to the person who has finite life on this earth. It refers to the natural body of a person, the body that goes through birth, aging, sickness, and death. Even if our body of sin dies and the body of righteousness prevails in Jesus, our mortal body will eventually experience death. Apostle Paul's command that sin should not rule over our body is in line with what God told Cain. Sin desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Sin wants to rule us, but we have to win against it. What kind of condition is your body in? With the blood of Jesus, didn't our body of sin die already? And aren't we living with the body of righteousness? If you're in a situation similar to Cain, giving in to sin, crouching at the door, then the blood of Jesus becomes futile. Jesus' death becomes the subject of mockery, just like the crowd on the hills of Calvary 2,000 years ago. The second command of verse 12 is to not obey the evil desires of the body. Following the evil desires of the body does not get along with a person who lives in the body of righteousness through the blood of Jesus. The special feature of the second command is that it doesn't say, do not live by the evil desires of the body. Instead, it says, do not obey the evil desires of the body. What could be the object of obedience? The body? The second command of verse 12 is related with the first command, which tells us to not let sin rule over our body. Thus, the evil desires of the body are the desires under the power of sin. A body ruled by sin has no option but to live by sin. The command not to obey the desires of the body means, do not obey sin. When sin is crouching at the door to rule over us, if we fail to rule over sin and live under its influence, then we live by the desires of the body. Recently, we have heard news about drugs and sexual assaults through the news. Such crimes are all results of living by the desires of the body. Don't you think there will be many other events caused by living by the desires of the body, which are yet to be revealed to us in every corner of our society? There are probably many other events that happened and are happening. They are all due to not ruling over sin, and rather living under sin and living by the desires of the body. But how should a person who have received the grace of God through the blood of Jesus for his body of sin to die with Jesus and live with a body of righteousness? Should we continue to live failing to rule over sin and the power of sin and live according to the desires of the body? How should we live? Verse 13 tells us how. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Verse 13 uses the word part instead of body. The part does not refer to how each and every member comprises the body of the church. Instead, it refers to the body parts, such as the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, hands, and feet. This verse commands us to not give any body part to sin, meaning to not have your body part ruled by sin. Specifically, it should not be given to be an instrument of wickedness. Sin uses a person's body to fall under the influence of sin. Sin uses a person's body to have a part of the body as the instrument of wickedness to destroy the family, society, country, and the world where people and the environment that God has created. If I give in my eyes, mouth, hand, or feet to sin, sin will use my eyes, mouth, hands, or feet as the instrument of sin to rule over me and also people related to me to fall under the influence of sin. Drug abuse or sexual assaults that have gained attention did not influence just one person, and rather many people. Likewise, sin uses parts of one's body as instruments of wickedness to increase the influence of sin in society. Thus, we should not give in our body parts as instruments of wickedness to sin. Something that looks good to the eye takes our hearts. With our noses, we smell, and with our ears, we give in to temptation. With our mouth, we speak bad words, and with our hands and feet, we conduct physical evil. Many forms of crimes in society are results of giving our body parts as instruments of wickedness. These crimes include murder, theft, assault, fraud, and larceny, which all involve our body parts. Beyond individual crime, systematic acts of terror, war, abuse, or genocide are all also results of using our body parts as instruments of wickedness. In order for us to not live or to not sin like Adam and Eve, with our eyes, hands, and mouth, let us not give our body parts as instruments of wickedness. We need to offer our body parts to God. The Bible commands us to give our body parts to God. Our eyes, nose, ears, hands, and feet should be instruments of God and instruments of righteousness. When we offer our body parts as instruments of righteousness, the influence of sin in the world becomes weaker. When we read the Bible and look at good things with our eyes, smell the good products and creation that God has created, listen to the words of God and good teachings, deliver the words of God and speak good words, and perform good deeds with our hands and feet, then the power of sin in the world will become weak, and sin will eventually disappear. When we offer our body parts as the instrument of God, the instrument of righteousness, we can be built together in Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. The phrase, sin shall no longer be your master, means that sin will not rule over you. The expression, no longer be your master, is using the future active indicative. It does not use the past tense to mean that sin no longer is your master. Through the blood of Jesus, we have the body of righteousness, but we still fall under sin. In this world, it is difficult for us to live a life totally cut off from sin. Why is that? It is because we do not live each moment under the grace of God. Through the law, we cannot win against sin. Because people cannot win against sin under the law, Jesus came to this earth. Through the blood of Jesus, we can win against sin in His grace. Living a life of eternity on this finite earth means that we can live in the grace of the Lord continually so as to not be under the influence of sin. We can receive the grace of the Lord without a price at any time if you are in a proper relationship with God, accepting God as God. This is not difficult. It is a matter of my decision. God already granted us the grace. People living under the grace of the Lord is no longer under the reign of sin. To be under the grace of the Lord is to remember and act by offering our body parts as the instrument of righteousness to God, since Jesus paid for my sins through His death, so that I can have a body of righteousness united with the Lord. God commanded Cain, "Sin desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Sin is not far away. God said sin is crouching at the door. Why does sin linger around people? God explained, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. If we do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Then what is not doing what is right? Previously, I explained that not doing what is right is not being in a proper relationship with God, living self-centered and not pleasing God. And what is displeasing to God is, as created beings, not accepting the Creator God as God. If we flip around what God told Cain, then if we do what is right, sin will not be able to linger around us, and sin cannot crouch at the door. What God told Cain is in line with what Apostle Paul said in Romans, "Sin shall no longer be your master." We can stay in the grace of God so that sin cannot rule over us. Let's live in the Lord, with the Lord, not forgetting that the Lord who sacrificed his blood for us is with us. Sin cannot win over me who is under the grace of God. Let's not be afraid of sin and instead fear only the Lord who is with us so that sin cannot wait at the door or rule over us. By staying under the grace of God, let us not give our body parts to fall under the evil desires of the body so that they are not used as the instruments of wickedness. Let us aspire to live lives of eternity in this finite world by offering our body parts as the instruments of righteousness. Let us pray. Father God, through one man sin entered the world, and through one man, Adam's sin, everyone faced death. Thank you for granting us the grace so that through one man, we could be in peace with God, and through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, we are no longer under the wages of the power of sin and death. Through the blood of the Lord, our body of sin passed away, and now we have the body of righteousness. In order for us to no longer live under the influence of sin, may we accept God as the Creator God and have a proper relationship with God. Since we live under the grace of God, may our body parts be used as instruments of righteousness to love God and love our neighbors. Consequently, may the power of sin be weakened on earth and the grace of the Lord be amplified as the stories of crimes dissipate and stories of good deeds increase in this world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.